Niners lose again, 0-3 on this road swing. Oh, man. In this one, you could be happy that the Niners, I guess, had a good start to the game in this one. They led at halftime. But the way that they crumbled in the final 15 minutes, Zay, that's got to be the way that you take this one away in the beginning. And FIU runs away with it, almost a blowout against UTEP.
Yeah, you know, it's the same story, different day, right? I mean, we see this all the time. UTEP is able to keep it close, like you said. They got out to a hot start. It looked promising for a minute, but, you know, the final 7 minutes, that's when it all starts to crumble apart for this UTEP team. And you said it perfectly. This really was a blowout, right? It really was a blowout towards the end. FIU was throwing alley-oops. They were having a great time on their interesting court. I mean, that court, that hurts my eyes, but they're winning on it. They're winning on the beach, and a complete 180 for that program down there in Miami.
Yeah, and apologies to everybody who is listening to the post-game show and also listening to the comments of head coach Joe Golding. We were hanging around hoping to see if they would reconnect with us, voice of the Niner, John Teicher, and of course the UTEP broadcast, but we had some technical difficulties out there in Miami. Maybe it was the court that kind of, you know, made all the technical problems happen there, Zay. But regardless, we're live here for Niner Talk. You want to weigh in, let's do it. 915-505-6009. Had a great show on Friday, by the way. Had a lot of people call in, chime in on it. And I don't know if I would necessarily call this an absolute blowout. I think we defined the blowout last time, Zay. We were saying 18 points or more constitutes as a blowout. What do you think about that number right there? I mean, 12 points today was 76-64, and it really should have been like 76-59 or 61. It was over late in the game. And this is sad because there was 18 lead changes. There were 7 times this game was tied. The Niners held the lead for, you know, over 11 minutes in this game. I think it was like 14 minutes when it was all said and done. But it's disappointing the way that this one finished out. I don't know if I can necessarily call it a road blowout loss, but it kind of feels that way, the way UTEP ended up losing this game right here. Niners led for 14 minutes of this one here, Sal Montes, and it's a disappointing finish for a UTEP team that has been disappointing really all season long, if you can really sum it up.
Yeah, it was fun while it lasted throughout, but it was hard to feel confident in holding on to that lead, just considering the history this year, right? They get a lead. If they're lucky to have a lead, they're likely going to lose it. But no, Florida International, the way they play is very fast. It's upbeat. It's up-tempo. You had to figure at some point they were going to wake up, and they woke up when it mattered the most, especially in the second half.
You know, Zay, I don't know if our expectations were a little higher going into this road swing, but the Niners just look depleted right now. I mean, they don't have obviously, Tyrese Watson, he missed his 6th straight game. They were without David Tubek in this game as well. He's going to be missing the next couple weeks, reportedly, according to head coach Joe Golding, with a strained calf. And then a concussion keeps out Caleb Blackwell for a 2nd straight game. You have no Blackwell in back-to-back games. They had, I guess it was like a concussion to Trey Horton or something like that late in the game for this one right here. He did not close out the game. And so the Niners just right now, they just don't have a lot of bodies out there, especially in that backcourt.
They really don't, right? You saw a lot of Jordan Hernandez out there tonight who, you know, he really didn't get a lot of minutes early in the year, you know, and L.A. Hayes, Cassius Brooks, guys like that that really did have to step up over this road trip, especially these last 2 games, and they didn't look bad. They didn't look that terrible, but at the end of the day, you said it perfectly. They don't have bodies. They don't have people. They got worn out. That's what it looked like at the end. They were just worn out. They gave some effort. It was interesting, you know, throughout that first half and really towards the second half, they didn't look too bad, right? They were, you know, forcing some turnovers, getting some points in transition. Their half-court defense, the announcers talked about it a lot. It was a lot better than it's been over these past couple of games, but they just got worn out, especially in that backcourt, and you know, that's how you end up falling down and basically crumbling those last few minutes.
Some guy, Chris, with maybe the stat of the century, right? I mean, stat of the year so far in 2026. UTEP moves to 4-10, and they're 0-3 in Conference USA. Joe Golding is now tied for the worst 20-game stretch of the century for UTEP men's basketball. In 2001 to 2002, and then the stretch from 02 to 03, the Niners went 2-18 through 20 games versus Division I opponents. That was half of it was Jason Rabideau, and then the start of it was Billy Gillespie's 2002-03 season. Big difference is after 03, they really turned things around under Billy Gillespie, and he performed and coached one of the best turnarounds you're going to ever find, not just in UTEP history, maybe like, you know, mid-major hoops history right there. And then you look at what's going on right now, dating back to last year and going into this year, 2-18 and counting. And Miners, you know, it's been a really tough year for them. Losing is contagious, almost like winning is contagious. And even though they won that game against North Dakota State, I almost want to write that one off as kind of an anomaly, even though, okay, right, you got to be fair to UTEP, and you got to give them that win right there against a team who is pretty, you know, a pretty good team right there in the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational, a pretty solid team when it's all said and done. And they end up getting that 10-point victory, 76-66. But outside of that, when's the last time you can remember? I mean, this first half was UTEP's best first half they've had in Conference USA, maybe best half period in Conference USA thus far after just three games. But a deflating three-game road swing for UTEP now puts them in a position where they're coming back home to take on Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky, two teams who can easily beat the Miners here this at the Don Haskins Center this week at home, and then a road swing against Delaware and Liberty. I mean, Zay, we asked this after the North Dakota State game, or actually I think we asked this after the La Tech loss. When's the next UTEP win? And I don't know if we're going to see one in January, like the way things are going. That's a bad sign right there.
It is a bad sign. And you know, you're talking about our guy, some guy Chris, putting some great stats. Here's another one. UTEP men's basketball has lost three straight Conference USA games by 10 or more points for the first time in the program's 20-year history in the league. So that tells you right there, right? Our guy Chris is coming up with the great stats over this losing streak that, you know, UTEP almost escaped Conference USA without three straight league losses by double digits, but here we are. They do it in the final year and in the first three games of conference play, and you're right. I mean, there's a chance we don't see a UTEP win in the month of January the way that they're looking right now, especially if they're banged up like this, if they don't have Caleb Blackwell, if they don't have Tyrese Watson, and, you know, whoever else might get banged up towards the end of this stretch. So it's not looking good. It's looking bleak. And UTEP's 4-10. Like, that just didn't sound right. It didn't sound right.
I'll also say this. I mean, look, if you're going to be a pro UTEP person, if you're going to be a pro Golding person right now at this point, you're going to argue, hey, with UTEP basketball and the way things stack up right now, this road swing was brutal. They're going from the likes of Ruston, Louisiana, Springfield, Missouri, and then the likes of Miami, Florida, all in the span of less than a week. Sal, what would you say against that argument right there? Because there's, I mean, that argument's out there, right? You float that out there, three games in less than a week, Miners already without a lot of guys. Anything against that excuse right there, or against, you know, that notion right there that the Miners have just been, it was a tough and brutal road stretch right here?
No, I don't agree with that at all, because we can even add into the factor Conference USA is not that tough this year. Congratulations, you have a tough road swing in one of the worst conferences. How about this road swing? I mean, one of them, I guess, I don't know if you want to throw it out the door, but the fact is it's an away game. But I think this road trip is way tougher. They're going to have one in February with New Mexico State, Middle Tennessee, and Western Kentucky all on the road. And you started off in the Hornet's Nest right down the road here in Las Cruces. So if that's the case, then you're setting the precedence for what's to come, you know, late February.
One of the things that I'm looking at right here for UTEP is, when are you going to get a road game, if ever, this season? That's another point. If, okay, if this was a tough road stretch, I can almost accept that. And I could say, all right, I can hear that. And I can hear that notion, you know, with this basketball squad. But Zay, I just worry about this team, knowing that Joe Golding coached squads have not traditionally been great road teams. Does this team go winless on the road? And it hasn't been unheard of for a school like UTEP to go winless on the road.
Yeah, you said it perfect. I mean, we've seen teams with Corey Camper, David Terrell, Otis Frazier, like, they had trouble winning on the road. The year that they went to the Conference USA Championship, they didn't win a road game until the final two games. And you're going to tell me that if they can barely eke out some road victories, you're going to tell me that this team, which no offense to the guys on it, but L.A. Hayes, Cassius Brooks, guys like that, if Tyrese Watson and Caleb Blackwell are out, they're going to lead UTEP to road wins in, I won't say a tough, tough conference, but Conference USA is perennially, it's a tough place to win on the road. I just don't see it. I don't see him winning a single road game, and that's just the way this season has gone for the Miners.
I want to talk some UTEP football storylines. I've got some recruiting nuggets to go through, and Zay, I'm sure you want to hit on that too. We've got some thoughts about this game in particular. I want to go a little game, I mean, player by player with certain thoughts that I had from today's matchup right here, including some positives when it comes to guys who've been, you know, on a downward trajectory a little bit in the past couple weeks, like Trey Horton. I've got positives on him. I got positives on CJ Smith, so I want to talk about that here on the program. Let's do it. 915-505-6009. Got a lot of comments that are coming in on social media, Twitter, and X that we'll get to in just a bit. But before we do that, Kurt's going to kick us off on the phone lines. 915-505-6009. Kurt, good afternoon, man. What's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Doing well, Kurt. Happy Sunday, man. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, until I watch UTEP basketball, I'm all right.
I hear you, man. No, I hear you. Tell me your thoughts.
As you know, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been for decades. At this point, guys, I've had enough. And like a lot of other people, enough is enough. When's enough of the Joe Golding era as the helm of UTEP basketball? I don't see them getting any more wins the rest of the month or even probably the rest of the season, if you ask me, with the injuries they got right now and whatever they got going. But they're not – this team is just not good. And Jim Center hired this man when he did for one win because he beat Texas in their tournament. It's on the athletic director now to face some answers and face some questions about where this program's headed. We cannot accept losing anymore. That's the problem with
4-10 is really bad, Kurt. Like losing and having kind of like a sub or around 500 season's one thing, but a 4-10 season is bad. Like, this is one of the worst teams in Conference USA, if not the worst team in CUSA right now as it stands. I don't think that's being too hyperbolic on this right now. They banked on this team's talent and the roster's talent to stack up with everybody else across Conference USA. And like Sal was saying and Zay was saying, this isn't a great conference right here, but UTEP still finds a way to be at the bottom of it right now. And so, you know, as a fan, I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you being out as of right now with this basketball squad and how things have gone as of late.
And also, guys, we're going to the Mount West starting next year, and I don't see how we can go to the Mount West with this coach and the type of talent the Mount West has. It's just going to be nothing but losses and losses and losses. It's not getting done here, so something's got to be done because it's a joke. It really is.
I hear
and,
you.
I want to leave it at that. I'm sorry I got to say stuff like this. It's negative, but it's the truth.
No, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you speaking the truth, Kurt. Thanks for weighing in. I know that a lot of other UTEP basketball fans feel very similar to what you're saying right now. Poncho chimes in on Twitter and X. UTEP gave us hope in the first half, only to be outcoached in the second half again. Hashtag Miner Talk. Tristan Pence, a horrible final 10 minutes of the game for the Miners. Low IQ plays, like numerous unnecessary fouls, 30-plus feet from the basket, plagues this team. This team isn't coming together, and quite frankly, are being coached by incompetent coaches. Number two, when it comes down to it, the Miners have now lost 10 straight regular season Conference USA games, and they're 2-18 versus their last 20 Division I opponents. The only decent half UTEP has played this year is the one Coach Joe Golding was on the bench coaching. Golding needs to resign. Man, very consistent from Tristan Pence. I'll say that. He's been very consistent on this notion that, you know, Miners have been very, very underwhelming through this past stretch right here. And I would say, you know, as far as the three straight games losing by 10 or more points, the first time in the 20 years in Conference USA, first off, it's not like this league is good. Second off, it's not a good league because UTEP's never been like this, where they've never had three straight games when they've had, you know, a loss by 10 or more points. Like, that has not happened because this league is so bad. And I look ahead, Zay, to the Mountain West. You have teams like Nevada, who are right now 11-3 overall. You have teams like UNLV, even though their record is 7-6, they're 2-0 in the conference thus far. New Mexico, 11-3. Grand Canyon, oh yeah, they're in the Mountain West already. They didn't wait a year. They're in right now for basketball. They're 8-5 right now, and they are 1-1 in conference play. Some other teams in this league: Wyoming, they're 10-4. San Jose, 5-9. Air Force, 3-11. There's your Conference USA right there. Where does UTEP stack up next year if things don't change? I think it's probably near the San Jose, Air Force, and Wyoming's of the world right there. And Wyoming's 10-4, so not that example, but probably like a 5-9 or 3-11 if UTEP was in Mountain West this year.
Yeah, and you know, something drastic would have to happen for UTEP to even shape up to be in the middle of that league, right? Because you can see the talent right now in Conference USA. They're outmatched. They're outmatched game in and game out. These first three games specifically, like, you can tell just by watching the games that the teams UTEP are playing are really on a whole nother level than these guys, right? Missouri State is on a whole nother, FIU is on a whole nother level than UTEP this year. And that's not the way this program has ever operated. And we talk about it all the time. We might be holding UTEP fans and people just looking at this program might be, you know, stuck back then, but even then, you know, program and tradition, it means something in college sports even now. And to see this program, which was once one of the best mid-majors in the whole country, to have a fall like this, it's shocking.
Well, I'll say this also, I'm looking at some of the numbers at a Conference USA. Miners host Middle Tennessee on Thursday. The Blue Raiders are 9-5. By the way, they only lost by 9 points to number 11 Houston. They beat La Tech and Sam Houston back-to-back games to start off league play in convincing manners, although against Sam Houston 68-67, La Tech they beat them 88-51. That was a big win for Middle Tennessee. And then on the flip side, it's Western Kentucky, who, by the way, the Hilltoppers, they've had a good year too. 9-5 on the year. They won back-to-back games in conference play. They're 2-1 in CUSA. They lost their first game to Jacksonville State on the road 78-61, but they beat Sam Houston 102-91, and they beat La Tech 66-61. Western Kentucky's a legit threat to win Conference USA. They're a sizable team. They're going to come into the the Don Haskins Center with a little bit of momentum come next Saturday. But before then, it's a Middle Tennessee team. So it's not like it gets easier here, Sal. You're going up against two teams who have already proven it. They can win games, and the Miners have not proven that. They have not proven that they can have success and win games.
And I like how you mentioned Western Kentucky earlier. Some of the teams they beat, obviously, as it stands now, right, they're ahead of them in the standings, but that's what you do if you want to take that next step to that upper half of the conference. If you're hovering around the middle, beat who you should beat. And right now, we don't know who that team is if you're UTEP, right? Who can UTEP go out there and confidently beat? We thought it was Missouri State a couple weeks ago. Now we know that's not the case. And another thing, too, I know we mentioned Conference USA is not a good conference at all, which I don't believe it is. But even with all that being said, Adrian, every single team is at 500 or better, all right, except UTEP and Delaware when it comes to their overall record. So if you can't even get it going, you know, in Conference USA, you know, with the tough non-conference schedule, how is that going to fare up for you when things start heating up in the middle?
Yeah, I'm totally behind that right there. I'll give a quick example. Well, actually, we're going to talk to Jake from FIU here in just a little bit. Our pal Jake, who's on Pause Up Podcast. We definitely want to get the lowdown when it comes to this Florida International team, and also, you know, when it comes to Florida International in general. This is one of the last games that we're going to see UTEP play against this squad right here. This is coming in on our app right now, 600 ESPN El Paso, our free app here as we continue. At what point does Joe Golding and his reps start thinking about a buyout? The worse it gets for UTEP, the more it starts to hurt Golding's future opportunities too. I didn't even think of that, Zay. Like, could this end up like being adverse? I would not say that. I mean, Golding is such a competitor that there's something in him that probably wants to fuel him to continue the rest of the season the way that it's going. But it's an interesting thought. Like, man, this actually really hurts Joe Golding. I don't know if he's ever endured a season like this, or when's the last time he's endured a season this bad, at least to start.
Yeah, I think even at Abilene Christian, when they were transitioning to Division One, I don't even think they were this bad. Like genuine. Like I wouldn't say that, you know, that UTEP team would lose to an ACU team back then, but just from coming in on expectations, on everything like that, I think pound for pound, this is probably the worst team that Coach Joe Golding has ever had in his long tenure as a head coach. And, yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly. He's a competitor. I don't think he'd do something like that. But and even if, you know, you want to talk about future opportunities, let's say Joe isn't back next year, he beat Texas in the NCAA tournament. Like, there's definitely some coach out there that would love to have him on his staff, or maybe a JUCO that would, you know, there's endless opportunities. Yes. For a Division I head coach.
And let's not forget, like, he still was a guy who won at a low-level major program like Abilene Christian. He had four losing seasons as they transitioned from, you know, the lower division to Division I at Abilene Christian beginning in 2014. And then he had four straight 500 or better seasons starting in 2018 with Abilene Christian. His first year with UTEP was his best, 20-14. Then the second year, a losing season, 14-18. This is only losing season of his UTEP coaching career. The next two seasons, he won 18 games here for the Miners, and this season to start things off, 4-10. His worst season at Abilene Christian was 10-21. They were 4-14 in league play. His first season transitioning in, they were 11-20. Could this be the first season in Golding's career where they go under 10 wins? Like, that can happen right there. Like, he's got to get to at least double-digit wins, and that's a low bar to set, Zay, but I feel like that could be a telling mark right there. Can you get to 10 wins? Can you find 6 wins under your belt in the rest of league play? And it's a long season. Just the way things have started, it's just real disappointing, and it's not giving you a lot of hope moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, 6 wins. To put that in, I mean, UTEP has 4 wins over this season and 1 against a Division I opponent. So I guess the math would tell you they've gone this far playing this many Division I teams, only having 1 win. The odds of them getting 6 more, pretty low, right?
Good point, yeah. Sal, I'll ask you this same question right here, because this one right here is one that I think is kind of an interesting nugget to look at. You have Joe Golding coach teams in the past. He's won as little as 10 games or 10 wins. 1 year with Abilene Christian, that was his second year. Can they get even worse than that this year? Is there a possibility for that?
It definitely is, because I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule, and I don't know who I can confidently say they have a good chance with. Forget a chance, a good chance. And for the Miners, man, just the way they've started this road trip off, and we know that Missouri State could probably be one of the better teams in Conference USA, but guess what? They're a newcomer to Conference USA.
Right.
All of these newcomers have climbed the ladder way quicker than UTEP has, and that's a problem. So I don't know if this team is going to – I'll put it like this. I feel better about them not being better. I don't know worse yet. I think best case scenario is maybe equal.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the standings right now. I don't think this happens. I think they get to 10 wins somehow, whether it's maybe like 8 or 9, and then they get 1 in the conference tournament. Like, I feel like they're going to get to 10 somehow. And guys, look, the last time a team in Conference USA lost or went in single-digit wins in a season, it was 2022. You have to go all the way back to 2022 when Southern Miss went 7-26. Every other year, you've had teams win at least 10. So I guess it's a really low bar to even set. I guess this shouldn't really even be a talking point, but I wanted to bring this one up, just kind of looking at the past with Golding, his history, what he's done in the past, and could it get any worse than that? And you guys said possibly yes. I'm going to go with no. I really doubt. I really want to say and be a little bit more optimistic and say that UTEP can find their stride and maybe even put together a couple wins, even if it just has to be at home. Like, we talked about the no road win possibility, but at least just at home, you protect the Don Haskins Center and try to win some of these games against teams that aren't that great, by the way. Mediocre to average to maybe okay at best. Mike from the West Side is next up with us, 915-505-6009. Then we got a couple tweets to get to as well here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso, our free app. If you want to chat with us just like Jules did, you could also chat with us through Twitter and X, and then also give us a call, 915-505-6009. Mike, good afternoon, man. What's going on?
Happy New Year, fellas. I really appreciate what you're doing. And if the miners were actually good, your job would be a whole lot easier. So we appreciate what you're doing. I need some help here, and I was hoping you could give me some advice.
Okay, let's do it, Mike, and I appreciate the kind words.
I don't know if I should jump off a bridge, drink some Drano, or lay my head on the tracks. Which is the best way to go out right now?
Oh, man. This was tough, Mike. I get it. It's been a tough athletics year, right? Like,
I'm thinking Drano.
You know what? Maybe faster and everything like that. Although the train tracks are nice. It's kind of a soothing sound, you know, when you hear everything.
My luck is it'd only nip half my head, and I'd still be alive to watch the minor season. I don't know.
Oh, man. Brutal, man. I hear your frustration. Is there any fix to this season? Is there anything that would get you energized? Like, I don't remember being a part of a fan base that has been so down on their team. And that's what it feels like right now.
I'll be there. I'm a season ticket holder. My buddy is, we go to the games, but no, this is hopeless.
Yeah, I hear you, Mike. I hear you. Any other thoughts you want to give us before miners return back home next week?
Just thanks for coming to work. You guys have a really hard job today, and I appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you, Mike. Thanks for weighing in. It's people like you who make our job easy. So thank you, man. Give us a little humor here on the program as we continue. 915-505-6009. More calls coming in here on the program. But before we get to more calls, I want to give a big shout-out to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Miner Talk. If you're feeling hungry, cravings, meet Jack. That's Jack in the Box here in El Paso. Check them out online, jackinthebox.com. You can order pickup, order delivery. Check out their mozzarella sticks. They're classic. They're Nashville hot. They're back. They're cheesy. They're legendary. And bigger cups, better value, all at Jack in the Box. That's their drinks, their fountain drinks as well. Order in the app, free food, exclusive deals, all with our great presenting sponsor here at Jack in the Box. Along with Zay Galindo, Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. Florida International defeats UTEP 76-64. You want to talk about it with us? Let's do it. 915-505-6009. A lot of NFL games going on right now, by the way, guys. But before we jump into any more conversations that way, I want to go into some FIU talk as well, because I heard a little bit of, I heard some stuff about their NIL that I want to get into. Before we do that, let's get to Matt, who's joining us next on the phone lines. 915-505-6009. Matt, welcome back to the program, man. Great to talk to you. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing, Adrian?
Doing great, Matt. I'm doing great because I'm distracting myself from this UTEP basketball loss with the Rams, who are hanging on and possibly getting a good playoff positioning when it's all said and done.
Good. At least you've got something positive going on, because as a UTEP diehard, there's nothing positive to talk about. And I've got a 14-year-old next to me who is devastated with the state of UTEP athletics. So here's my question. At what point, guys, do we get to hear from Jim Center and from Heather Wilson, the president of the university, as to what is going on with our athletics program? As a longtime season ticket holder, our prices are going up. The costs are going up of what they're charging us. And I get it. We're moving into the Mountain West. But we're moving into the Mountain West with zero momentum. And it's sad. Like, we're going into the Mountain West in such a sad way. There's no momentum. There's no enthusiasm. The worst part is that there's fan apathy, which people just don't care. And so that to me is even worse than being awful in football and awful in basketball. So, like, at what point do we get to hear from our athletic director and from the president of the university as far as what their plan is to get our athletic program to be respectable going into the Mountain West?
You know, the interesting part to that question, because it's a direct question, that it's like, all right, let's just hear from them. Let's just hear from Center. Let's hear from Heather Wilson. And Sal, we've talked about this a lot. Like, the lack of communication, the lack of, I don't want to say transparency, but the lack of just, I would say, like, being forthcoming, like, laying out a plan and prioritizing athletics much better than it is currently right now has to come come from your leadership. That has to come from Heather Wilson. It has to come from, you know, people like Jim Senner. And they've always taken this hands-off approach that's like, oh, we'll let our coaches do their own thing. But now they need, the coaches and these programs need athletic directors and president support now more than ever. And I feel like it's been very quiet by that UTEP brass, and they make the excuse of, oh, well, we're upgrading the facilities, we're worrying about the other things. And that's what I've seen just kind of outside looking in, not really knowing too much about the weeds. I'm just also comparing UTEP to other schools, even like Florida International, who's kind of bought in.
Yeah, I mean, there's some schools who will do a press conference if their record is like this, and you have a certain amount of years where you're not playing winning basketball or having success at that level. I'm not saying they need to do one, but that's just how serious some of these programs, take their athletics. And you haven't seen much of that at all from UTEP. I think the biggest one we've seen was maybe that town hall, but that feels like so long ago at this point. There's been numerous, people going through the doors and going back out the doors. So I don't know, man. It's tough to call it, especially when it's the beginning of, conference play. But you're also leaving the conference, too. Like, how much are you banking on for things to change just with that jump in to a different conference?
Right.
I think that's the big thing as to why it seems, right, from this aspect, that there's no sense of urgency.
And Matt, to bring you back into it, I want to ask you, because if you think about the perspective of the athletic department and what's going on with the coaching staffs and what's going on with how they run things, if not micromanaging from the Jim Senner and Heather Wilson perspective, it was kind of like the motto before, like, let the coaches do their own thing. Well, what's the next step to that? Like, actually go in and support them through NIL efforts? Like, in your opinion, what is that? What is the winning recipe there?
You think? I would love to hear some support. And I think, our NIL at $650,000 is booster raised. That's what the community has raised. Where is the university putting money into our program to get us competitive like every other college in America? Why are we the last school on earth to have the university support behind them? If the donors have raised $650,000, and it's not enough to be competitive, although roster, the way that we have created our roster in probably both football and basketball leaves a lot to be desired, but the money isn't there, let alone the knowledge of how to construct a roster. But okay, but the money's not there. And so, I would like a letter or some communication saying we understand that we are not performing at the level that our fans expect. And as we move into the Mountain West, here's our plan. For Heather Wilson not to have been on this show or on Sports Talk during the week, pathetic. Like, where is she and where is her? Take the heat and let the few fans who are left know where we stand as far as, like, how to put a better product on the field or on the court and what their plan is. You can't just say moving into the Mountain West, we're hoping. You can't hope. We're going to be worse, guys. Like, the Mountain West is a tougher conference. So if we can't compete in CUSA, what are we going to do to compete in the Mountain West? And to say that our record in basketball is 4-10, nope, it's 1-10. Let's be honest. The three games that we won are ridiculous. Those are garbage games. We are 1-10 and looking like this is going to be, the worst season that we've had probably since Gillespie's first year, on staff. And it's sad, guys. And for those of us fans who are left, we need more communication. And we need a plan from the university as to what they're going to do to make it better and to make it right. And that's NIL. That is the university putting money into the athletics program. Because that's the name of the game. And if we're not putting in money in NIL, good luck. And in the 2,000 fans who actually go to basketball games, you're going to cut that in half. And the 10,000 fans who go to the football games are going to get cut in half. And I'll tell you one last thing. This is not on the athletics department. They're great people. They work their butts off. I love those guys and girls and women. They're great. But I want to hear from Jim and from Heather as to, from the leadership team, what are they going to do to get this right? Because it's broken.
Yeah, and it's been almost like a decade plus of really bad basketball and football that's, I mean, had, you know, the bowl game in 2021, but other than that, not a lot to get excited about. You have the PUBG New Mexico Bowl in 2021 and the trip to the Conference USA Tournament Championship game in 2023 as really the only highlights of the 2020s here for UTEP money-making sports like football and men's basketball. All the other accomplishments and achievements for UTEP athletics comes from track and field, comes from volleyball, comes from even women's basketball over the 2020s of what we've seen so far, Matt. I mean, it's been a bad decade so far.
Yeah, but the money makers is where we are falling so far behind. You can tell, like, seriously, we can't beat FIU, like, and Missouri State, and we lost to Norfolk, like, and in football, we can't beat Division II teams who trash the city and talk about how bad of a city, you know, this is, and they're FCS, FBS squad, and we can't beat them, and, like, the things that are happening to this athletics department when it comes to football and men's basketball, which is where you generate your money, are inexcusable, and the lack of communication and the lack of a plan that's being communicated to the fan base is even more inexcusable.
Matt, you're the man. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for hanging with us a while here on the program. I like your thoughts and your comments here. Thanks, man.
Thanks. See you later.
Bye. Matt Kaplowitz joining us here on the phone lines as we continue. 915-505-6009. Let's go to the hotline right now before we get to Orly here coming up in just a bit. It's Jake Gibson. He's joining us right now all the way out in Miami. He's the host of Pause Up Podcast, friend of the program, is in our Conference USA roundtable, and was courtside out there covering this game right here. The Panthers get a big victory at home, 76-61 over UTEP, or 76-64, I should say, over UTEP. Jake, welcome back to the program, man. Thank you for joining us here for the first time post-game here for Minor Talk. It's great to talk to you. How's everything going?
Adrian, it's just so great to hear from you. It's a little bittersweet, I'm not going to lie, because I feel like our meetings are going to become more limited as the basketball season winds down. Obviously, you don't need to get to baseball, and then come next year, y'all are heading to the Mountain West. That's going to be it for us, in all likelihood, until we get some non-conference scheduling. So it's great to talk to you.
I don't know if that's going
to
happen. Right, Jake, and I don't think that's going to happen right there. I don't know if the next time UTEP's going to schedule a Miami trip here for non-conference play or anything like that, but regardless, it's good to talk to you. Our days are numbered here talking to you as far as UTEP and Florida International being conference mates, but this is the best Florida International team I've seen, like, maybe it, you know, while covering UTEP basketball, and I'm impressed. I mean, Jeremy Ballard, he has struggled mightily year over year, and this team, it seems like he's finally got a squad that looks the part. They're 9-5, they're 2-1 in conference play, coming off a big victory against UTEP, and I was a little bit, you know, like, if you're watching this from a Florida International perspective, I would have been worried in that first half. And even going into the second half, Miners showed a lot of fight. It was just the Panthers ripping off that 15-minute stretch where they went absolutely bonkers and really never looked back. I think they simply wore out an already depleted UTEP team. Mm-hmm. But the talent level, I've never seen the talent level flips like this in this series between Florida International and UTEP. FIU is clearly above and beyond more talented than UTEP right now.
You said it, Adrian. Coach Ballard is on sort of the latter end of his contract here at FIU, and he's looking to make a statement here with the Panthers, who have been a rather consistent bunch these last couple of seasons in the sense that they can get to the Conference USA tournament, win a game in it, but then get bounced right after. Obviously, the FIU faithful here are looking for more than just that in a program that I feel that all of the FIU faithful believes can be talented with the talent that South Florida produces here basketball-wise. And you said it, this was a great job by UTEP to limit FIU offensively, who has been on a heater so far this season, especially in their first couple of games in conference play, dropping 89 on New Mexico State and then dropping 94 against Liberty in a game that in all likelihood they should have won. That when it went to overtime, the top-seeded Flames get out of the Ocean Bank Convocation Center with a win. But yes, you mentioned it. And so did Ballard post-game as well, giving a lot of credit to UTEP and their ability on defense to not have the Panthers break through. But the same thing goes for the Panthers on defense. This is one of the best defensive performances of the season, no doubt, considering what they were able to do. I mean, I think the craziest difference I saw was in the block category, 8-1. That was an absolute block party for the FIU Panthers. It was it looked like we were going to get a barn burner until, yes, it looked like the UTEP Miners ran out of gas there. And I think the nail in the coffin was when UTEP got a block, their only block of the game, and FIU somehow got the ball back mid-play, dropped a bucket, and it felt like at that point you knew everything offensively was going right for the Panthers as they were able to eventually pull away and get the win.
Okay, I just don't cue me in more about how this team was constructed, because you look at this team right here and previous years, 23, Jeremy Ballard and FIU goes 14-18. In 2024, the Panthers went 11-22. Last year, they were 10-23, a pretty bad team, you know, when you looked at it. But it wasn't like they had bad players. Like last year was Brewer. The year before that, it's Arturo Dean. The year before that, it's guys like Denver Jones. It's not necessarily bad players, you know, top to bottom, but this year it seems like the depth is really there more than it's ever been. Like, I can actually look at this FIU team and say, all right, they're kind of a dark horse outside looking in team who could maybe even win Conference USA, as crazy as that sounds.
This roster is so unbelievably different from last season that the only big-time playmaker that actually stayed from last year was Ashton Williamson. Everybody else that is making a ginormous impact for FIU on both sides of the ball came in through the portal. And Ballard himself has a pretty different coaching staff around him as well. This is a 99.9% different team than what we saw last season. All of their pickups have been great. They've gotten a lot of juniors and seniors. They're sort of at the tail end of their college careers that want to go out with a bang, and it's sort of gelled into a pretty solid, I'd say, jack-of-all-trades kind of FIU team, and they still have ways they can improve their game. I hearken to their free-throw shooting, which to start the season was off. It has gotten better as the season has gone on, which is a great thing to note for FIU, but man, a lot of the pickups like Corey Stevenson, Eric DeBami, Britt Harris, they've all been pretty big-time playmakers as well. And, of course, another big thing is to stay healthy as the season goes on, which unfortunately has not gone Coach Ballard's way these past couple of years. I mean, so far, so good as far as health for the Panthers. But obviously, time will tell as we start to get into some road games here in Conference USA and then, of course, to the Conference USA tournament. But, yeah, this is a very different style of FIU team as well. And that was sort of noted in this game as well. How the Panthers sort of opened up trying to dominate beyond the arc. It didn't work for them as well as they wanted to. I mean, to go 0-4 to start this game from beyond the arc was definitely a bad omen for the Panthers. So coming out of halftime, they switched gears and said, you know what, let's just attack the paint, challenge UTEP's defense, and that was a massive success for the Panthers doing that in this game.
Jake, my last question for you, and hey man, I appreciate you calling in late here on Minor Talk after this game, and I appreciate all you do. If you're looking for some FIU content, check out Pause Up Podcast. Give them a follow. Drop them a follow, even though UTEP's at a Conference USA. They're awesome when it comes to coverage for all things Florida International, and then make sure to follow Jake Gibson at Jake the MC on Twitter next. But Jake, my final thoughts and question to you is, you know, it's interesting that NIL has such an impact in sports nowadays, and I'm looking at the new regime change with the president at Florida International and how much she emphasized NIL and athletics. How have you seen NIL reshape this roster right here? Because, you know, I'm friends with guys like Eric Henry and, you know, even guys who've covered this program, like you and guys who've covered this program in the past. A jump in NIL and to make a significant leap there is something that this program has really never seen before. So what are you seeing on the NIL level for Florida International? And I want to make some, and I want to draw some comparisons to UTEP later on, but you give me the FIU comparison.
Yes, NIL for FIU certainly has gotten better over the years. I think it still has room for improvement. However, I think, again, a big way that FIU can draw talent to FIU is, well, it's FIU, it's Miami, it's South Florida. You have the palm trees, you have the Lamborghinis, you have Pitbull, you have all those things that come with being a university right in the heart of Miami. It is a big impact. And yes, the NIL scene here at FIU is growing rapidly these last couple of years. It still has ways to go. I'd say like most group of five, and now I'm hearkening back to football, but like compared to most group of five, group of six teams, there are, and same thing goes for basketball being a mid-major. There's still room for improvement, but I do see it growing pretty rapidly, and I'm excited for the future because I feel like across most sports here at FIU, the future looks pretty bright. And I do think this athletics program under the guise of Scott Carr, there's still room to improve, and I think that's a great thing because this is a great season for improvement overall.
All right, Jake, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for weighing in on with us here on Minor Talk.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Our guy. I love it. I like the Dale at the end. That's good stuff right there. From Jake, the MC, our pal, who's joining us here on the hotline and just from Pause Up Podcast. Guys, I was talking to a couple other people who cover Florida International. I just alluded to that. And I have pretty good indication that this roster was built with $1 million. And if that's the case, right, like if UTEP's 650, we just mentioned that figure not too long ago, if Florida International is $1 million. Zay, why is the talent discrepancy as bad as it is right there? And I heard in football, by the way, this is Florida International, who just a year ago, I heard that they had around $200,000. So to make the jump from $200,000 to $1 million in men's basketball, and then they made the jump from $0 in football, essentially, to now like $2.5 million, this is not Pitbull. This is not just Dale going out there and giving all the money to Florida International Athletics. This is actually coming from the university itself and the president and the regime change that they made up at the top, who is prioritizing athletics in a big way and says, hey, look, we've got a fan base out here. Hey, look, we're in a pretty easy league or a winnable league. Let's go out there and do some things. And they're doing it through NIL, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, and you know, FIU, they're in a perfect spot, okay? They're in a huge market.
Yes.
They have tons of talent for any sport, volleyball, basketball, football, and they have a huge enrollment. I think they have the most students on campus out of everybody in Conference USA.
Maybe Kennesaw would beat them, but they're up there.
They're
yes.
up there. They're, yeah. they're both up there. This is a program that, once, if it gets going, and they've pledged the money to get it going, and they're on their way to doing that, right? Their football team made a bowl game for the first time, and who knows how long their basketball team is on the come up. You said it there. They've given tons of resources to football and basketball and everything. This is a program and an athletic program that, if you can get this on track, like, this is an attractive school for a lot of conferences. Like, I know we're all tired of realignment talk, but this is the real sleeping giant. I know, you know, everybody wants to talk about UTEP as a sleeping giant. No, FIU is in Miami. They're in one of the biggest, hottest cities in the country. They have tons of money. They have Pitbull on their side, and they just need to start winning because this is an athletic program that they're sitting on gold, basically.
Yes.
They're sitting on gold. They can figure it out.
Sal, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, I love it because it's kind of like, yeah, you're little brother to big brother, right? We know the Miami Hurricanes, but not everybody can go to Miami. So if you can't get there, guess what? We're going to use FIU as a stepping stone to get to be a Hurricane. So, I mean,
wow.
It's not bad, right? Really? I mean, here's another thing, too. We talked about FAU a couple of episodes ago. Like, yeah, those blowout losses and stuff, we excuse it. But that's really the reason why they got the jump. And I know it's not too far away, right? It's just down the road. But when you can be in Miami, it just does so many things for you. And I know that a similar comparison kind of was Kennesaw, how they're right by Atlanta. They're just in the area. This one, you're in the heart of it all with Miami. You have Pitbull.
Good point.
You have all that stuff. So, I mean, those are some good additions when you think about the greater markets of Conference USA. You just got to be a school who's okay with being little brother to big brother.
Yeah, and I would also say to that point right there, there's a great talent pool. Like, I think the thing that coaches find most I guess, challenging when they come here to UTEP and start coaching here? Not just basketball, it's football too. Is the geographic location of El Paso and UTEP compared to everybody else? And I think, Zay, we overstate it here on this show, but maybe, you know, at times it's a good friendly reminder. Is the geographic location plays a big role in all this? The movement to the Mountain West should help UTEP when they're trying to recruit and pull in talent, but I think it'll help you more west than it will southwest or southeast or anything like that. It'll help you go more west to get maybe players out of Arizona, California, you name it. And, you know, for basketball, they love that Midwest area. They love the DMV area. For football, they've really recruited Texas in a big way. I really think geography has a lot to do with this right here.
Yeah, it does. You know, it does. And you guys talked about Kennesaw's right there in the Atlanta, Georgia area, you know, FIU in Miami, stuff like that. It's easier to recruit when you're near where all the talent is, right? In El Paso, yeah, there's talent here in El Paso, but if you look 6 hours anywhere else, I mean, where else are you going to get talent, right? Albuquerque, Tucson, places like that, not bad. But
still,
you're not
a drive.
Yeah, it's still a drive. It's still a long way. And yeah, a lot of the big cities are only a flight away now, right? Dallas, stuff like that. But even then, it's hard. It's hard to convince guys that they want to stay close to home. It's as simple as that. And we don't know what the recipe is recruiting-wise for basketball, football, anything. We don't know what the recipe in the NIL era is for that because we haven't seen success with anything yet. So we wouldn't know how coaches would want to recruit to win here at UTEP in this point in time. But you can imagine it probably has to do with bringing in a mix of everybody, right? California, Arizona, Texas, and winning the transfer portal as well.
Sal, I also think about this and I'm like, well, FIU, the reason I'm harping, and I mean, we've spent almost 20, even a half hour on this, but the reason I'm harping on FIU, here's like the umbrella to all of this right here to understand. We're harping on this because Florida International in football and basketball is somehow worse, has somehow had a worse last 10 years or whatever you want to, even beyond that, than UTEP has. Like, they are a historically bad football program. They are a bad basketball program that has not had a lot of success over the last decade or so. This is why I'm harping on this right here. Yet their university leadership is buying in, like, for the NIL level and saying, hey, we're all behind athletics. And we value athletics to a really, really high level.
They're going like their backs are against the wall. Let's just go all in with the team. And you get, not only do you see it like resource-wise, but you also get those people saying that. You get them on camera saying that. You get those public appearances with them going all in on whatever team. And I know the Cowboys did that a couple years ago. Whatever, that's nonsense. But for these ADs, for anywhere to say, hey, you know what? We're all in on our athletics. What can we do? Let's get with this new day and age in NIL talks and whatever. You see that a lot more people showing that initiative to be kind of hip, to be kind of cool, to get in the mix with what's going on and not just delegating to other people. It may or may not work, right? But at the same time, it makes you question what that dedication is.
And I'll flip it the other way and say, I think there's so many people who want to be doom and gloom for NIL. And this is to Sal's point right there. To so many people who want to be doom and gloom on NIL saying, oh, I hate it. I hate the transfer portal. I hate name, image, likeness and what it's done for college athletics. Look at what it could do conversely. If you buy into NIL, if you like all, go all in on NIL right there, it could actually give a fan base that has had zero history, zero success, some hope, and to understand, hey, we could actually turn things around. So while everybody wants to harp against NIL and stuff like that, it could actually turn your entire programs around when it comes to different sports.
It sure can. It can in any sport, really, right? And that's the crazy part about the transfer portal. It gives and it takes. It can destroy a program from the top, bring them all the way to the bottom, and it can bring a program all the way from the bottom. I know we're not talking about football, and I know we're not talking about Power Conference, but Indiana's the best team in the nation. Indiana sure. Football, like, this is the same Indiana that was terrible for years on years on years. They make the right hire in Coach Kurt Cignetti. They pledge some money to win, and boom, just like that, they have players from the transfer portal. I mean, that team is full of bunch of transfers from every level, from the D2 level, from FCS, FBS, Group of Five, Power Up, wherever it is, the transfer portal, you can build something with it, and you can build something fast. And that's why, you know, you got to hold on to some hope if you're a UTEP fan, because in a blink of an eye, in 1 year, we could be talking about a completely different UTEP basketball team, or it can be the same story. You know, we really won't know.
I'll ask you this question. This is Edgar Montiel at Krabby Miner. Do you really believe that this men's basketball staff could put together a good roster, even if they had $1 million? I, for one, do not. What do you guys think? What do you think, Zay?
You know, I don't think so anymore. I used to be bought into that maybe if they had more money, maybe they could build something better, but at the end of the day, Joe Golding has shown he's just not a great recruiter. And a point in that is he might not be a great evaluator of talent. So until they bring in maybe an assistant coach who can recruit at a high level, which we've been talking about for years, it really just hasn't happened.
For 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see a world where even if this team did have the budget of $1 million, I don't see them building much more than what they built last year with even less money.
Sal, the only way I could make the argument of yes, I do believe in that, is if I had a conversation, maybe with a couple beverages, with head coach Joe Golding, and I convinced him, go out there of your $1 million, go out there and give $500,000 to $600,000 to maybe even $750,000 to one proven guy, like the guy, like give that bag to somebody. And I know that's tough, because when you're so top heavy in this salary cap NIL world, when you're kind of capped off on a certain dollar figure and you can't go more than that, it's hard, right? But that would be my argument or my thought is that, hey, look, if you're a team out there, or if you have that kind of money, go spend it on a real player. Like, go out and get yourself a real guy who could really make a difference for you moving forward.
No, I think that is the way in this day and age in basketball. You want that quick hitter. You want that microwave success. Sustainable success is not really around much anymore. And
agreed.
And even then, too, it's like the power schools were able to get a jump ahead of things because they had their prestige to go off of. They didn't have to say, hey, we'll give you this much of the pie. Hey, you want to come play for Kentucky? Look at Devin Booker. Look at Anthony Davis. Look at all of our famous alumni. You know what I mean? They can do that. And if you're UTEP, you have some, right, that you can mention. But with the losing that's been going around lately, it makes it harder. So we talk all the time. They need a dude. They need somebody who's just a man amongst boys out there. That's your best way to do it. All of these, developmental talks for 2-3 years, it's not around anymore. So you got to try and hit quick.
Yeah, and I think you hit quick, you reset every single year, and you have to be willing to do that. And yeah, let's go, Lions. I'm with you there, Sal. I'm watching this game too. No, don't worry, man. Not your bad at all. Let's go to some of the individual thoughts that I had from some of the players today, guys. We'll ping around some of that. We will get some fantasy thoughts from Zay, and then we will also close out the show with UTEP football talk. But if anybody wants to weigh in, now is the time to do it. 915-505-6009. Great conversations, great calls, great comments on social media here helping us out on the program. Sal, there's been some great finishes here, speaking of, in the NFL, and it's leading up to what could be a great finish here tonight between the Lions and the Bears, which I'm keeping a close eye on for seeding purposes when it comes to the Rams. So switching it up here and sprinkling in another minor talk football nugget here on the program. So there you go.
We could do a playoff talk coming soon, but
I like it.
In all seriousness, it looks to be a good playoffs, man. So much competition all around. You've seen teams at the top lose to teams on the bottom, so to speak.
Right.
It's very, very hard to say who's going to win it, but it's going to be some of the best playoff football we've seen in a while.
I think so. It's a lot of parity, that's for sure. 915-505-6009, our telephone number here on the program. A couple thoughts on players. Zay, welcome to UTEP, CJ Smith. That's all I want to say.
Hey, I mean, how about CJ Smith, right? There was a stretch where I was like, okay, like I can see it. I can see him getting extended minutes over maybe this couple run. He was a guy that I'd written off. I'd written him
Me
off.
Me too.
He was down there with, no hate to him, but David Tubek. Like, I didn't see them making any waves anytime soon. So shout out CJ Smith, the Oklahoma State transfer.
16 points so far this season, 3-for-7 from beyond the arc. That's the number. I want him to shoot more three-pointers right there. He made a three-pointer here in this game right here. And then in the previous game, he also hit a three-pointer. He's grabbed a bunch of rebounds on his side. He's only had one turnover so far in all his in 62 minutes. He's had one turnover. So C.J. Smith, I'm with you. I wrote him off. I was like, I don't think this guy's going to be a contributor this year. And by force, or, you know, by they absolutely needed him down the stretch this year. And it's kind of a cool thing. Like, I like this. I like the fact that they're using him. And by the way, we're saying all these comments knowing what we know already about UTEP basketball. Our thoughts have not changed. So if somebody's chiming in on or listening to this and saying, wow, you guys are being way too positive, know where we really are at. I mean, the bar is low here for UTEP basketball. But I will say this. I mentioned this yesterday, Zay, or I mean on the previous minor talk, and I'm going to stick by it. I think their best offensive option is Kasim Watson right now. And 25 points, he heated up 5 of 9 from beyond the arc. He hit 5 three-pointers. This is what you need. You need that from sizable scorers like Kasim Watson, and he was that for UTEP. The first game in which Elijah Jones went under double figures, he had 8 points on 3 of 14. He struggled. Jamal West Jr. was doubled all game long, 8 points. But Kasim Watson, he got his points in this matchup. 25.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time a UTEP player scored has anybody scored 25 this year or more than
no,
that?
No, I think that was a season high for UTEP basketball.
Yeah,
so good stuff.
I'm hyped. He's on my team, so I'm extremely hyped for that. And I'd seen it from the beginning, right? He's a guy that you can see him being like the lead scorer, especially on a team like this when they're needing a guy to hit shots late in the shot clock. He's lengthy. He can shoot over you. He can create. So it's good to see. He's really coming to his own, right? Because that start, I mean, maybe the first 5 or 6 games, they were not great from Kasim Watson. But since then, he's been pretty good, and I'm excited. I'm excited about the future for him.
Also for KJ Thomas today, he played 32 minutes. I mean, they needed everything they could from him because of their thin backcourt right now, but they're just not getting it from KJ Thomas. The other guy who I liked his game today, I don't care what anybody will say, I liked how he played today, is Trey Horton, and that might be controversial. Anybody want to go against me on this right here? He had 9 points. He was 4 for 11 from the field, which doesn't sound like a good number, but I'll give it some backup here. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, but 3 steals in 28 minutes of action. So any thoughts on Trey Horton?
Yeah, I think Trey Horton, we talked about it. What are you going to do other than shoot the ball? Because you're not doing it at a high clip, and he's responding very well. He's 3 steals. He had a couple drives to the lane where he didn't finish on all of them, but he had a couple where it was pretty good. You know, he took it aggressively. He's taking it upon himself to do more than just stand the corner and shoot. Make yourself what's the word? Make yourself
versatile.
Yeah, versatile. That's the perfect word. I couldn't think of it. Thank you, Sal. Make yourself versatile. Make yourself worth something for this team, and he's doing it right now.
Sal, I'm gonna throw this out there. Maybe we need some like interns, like, but don't work for us. They're just like interns for basketball players, and what they are is like friends. Like, they're not really like interns of us. They don't really contribute to us or anything like that. But they're just friends, and what we need is like a friend for Trey Horton to just gas him up, like give him all the confidence into the world. Hey man, I like your outfit today. Hey man, those are nice shoes.
A personal hype man.
That's a nice haircut. Like, you've got it, man. You got it going. And like, give them this confidence, because what Zay was just saying right there, the driving to the basket is something we've never
seen
from Trey Horton. The, you know, second chance points, like even grabbing rebounds, something we've never seen from Trey Horton. He never does that. Like, this is like, but he needs the confidence. He needs us to say, like, oh, no, 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 you can make these layups. Oh, no, 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 you can create your own shots. Like, he needs a friend in his like, corner, his crew, or even on this team to just be like, we trust you. Like, you can go out there and get these buckets. Defensively, he's hanging in, and he's starting to, like, get it defensively. So,
and that's why he's out there, too.
That's why he's out there, Sal. And I'm thinking, well, maybe, even though we were saying, no, 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 rein in the leash on Trey Horton, maybe you loosen the leash, but just convince him, don't shoot threes anymore, dude. Like, you don't need to be hitting all these three-pointers.
I don't even know how long the leash was before, if there was a leash at all at that point. It was kind of like Trey Horton's the shooter, and we talked about it. He doesn't do much else but shoot the ball, and the problem was that it wasn't going in the hoop. All right, at that point, what else are you going to do? And he's been doing everything else, or at least trying to do it, right? Just showing that he's aware, and he's not a one-trick pony. You definitely want to see some more of those options he made, you know, be solidified with some points. points or you know, not turnovers, but you got to be happy with the intent today, something you hadn't seen before.
Something you hadn't seen really all his career. Like, you didn't see it last year. He was a spot-up shooter. The year before that, as a freshman, same thing. He was supposed to be a sharpshooter. And this year, actually, like, creating his shot and, like, kind of figuring that out mid-season, all the adversity he's had to face this year, good for Trey Horton. He needed this. He needed a game like this where he could understand and realize, wait a second, I've got more in my bag than I lend it to or lend others to believe. So there you go. Let's go to the phones right now. 915-505-6009. After George, we'll get to some fantasy stats, and then we'll wrap it up with some UTEP football talk here on Minor Talk. 915-505-6009 here on the program. It is coming up here on the program. It's George who's joining us next. George, good afternoon, my friend. What's going on?
Good afternoon. I haven't spoken to you guys in a while. Happy New Year to everybody.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, George.
You guys, you know, love you guys. Thank you for having this platform for us. And, you know, I haven't been to any of the games. I actually didn't even renew my season tickets. I'm out. I've been out on UTEP Sports ever since the last loss, the football loss that we've had, UTEP Athletics in general. I think the only bright spot that we have is the volleyball team. But other than that, you know, really honestly, Joe Golding started his career at UTEP with a high note. And then I've seen it progressively go from good to bad to worse. And I think this is the worst I've seen this program at. I don't even watch the games. That's how disappointed I am in this team. Not only this team, but the football team. I don't even forecast getting season tickets to that. It goes from bad to worse to horrible, and to be at the bottom of the barrel and not even progress in any sense of the word it says something about this program, and it says something that maybe should light a fire in Jim Center or somebody in the athletic program, because honestly, I'm out, bro. I really honestly didn't even bother to fathom to get the tickets renewed this year. I mean, that should say something about somebody that's been a historical fan of UTEP. And to say that, it speaks volumes. Well, it does to me, because I've supported. And even through the supporting, it hasn't gotten anywhere. I mean, it's gotten worse, honestly. You know, to start the season the way they have is very bleak. I don't think if Elijah Jones or even Trey Horton gets good, I mean, that's still not going to get you anywhere, because you need a support staff. It can't be just one or two players that pick up the slack.
I'm totally behind that, George. Hey, I'm with you. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for weighing in. I hear your frustrations, and as a diehard UTEP fan like you are, you know, it is surprising to hear people like you just so down on the program. But I think you and a lot of others have really shown that have really and voiced your concerns with the athletic department, where it's at, not just basketball, but just kind of as a whole. And I hear where you're coming from, man. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for your support, and thank you for weighing in. Happy New Year to you. For sure, man, here on the program. 915-505-6009, our telephone number, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. All right, Zay, where are we at in the fantasy world for UTEP basketball? For those who don't know, we all of us drafted a team on this UTEP men's basketball squad. It was me, it was Sal, it was Zay, and it was Chris Collins from Inspo Lens. We all did it on our side. And yeah, go ahead, Zay. Give us the rundown.
So I have to start off by making, I guess, an announcement. Friday stats were wrong. They were wrong stats. I somehow pulled up the wrong stats. I have the corrected ones, and I have the single game stats from today. Now, I always ask this. First off, who do you guys think won today's game?
Okay, it's you, Kasim Watson. It was you.
It was indeed me. Dominant performance. That's the first time I've said that all year. Dominant performance from my team. 54.9 points. Kasim Watson, team leader, 33 points. Trey Horton had 22 points for me too, so that was huge. The three steals, that was a lot of fantasy points. Second place was Chris's team. He's been consistent. 27 points. He has Jamal West, Cassius Brooks, and L.A. Hayes. Three guys who got some minutes today. Adrian, 12.9 points. It's been a rough ride for you.
It's been a really rough ride for me. And Zay, Sal, that's going to do it for us here on the program. We've got a big Sunday night football game that's coming up right on deck. It's the Ravens and Steelers. So we're going to have to save the UTEP football talk for sports talk here tomorrow. So we'll save that. And maybe we'll sprinkle it in for some minor talk. Also, we've got some more football news that'll come up here in the coming weeks with UTEP announcing some commits and stuff like that. But I'm glad that we did it. We closed this out and did it in on time. Florida International defeats UTEP 76-64. Shout out to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on the program. Shout out to everybody who chimed in on the show. And if you missed any of Minor Talk, check us out wherever you listen to Minor Talk on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, you name it. We had a great show today. We'll be back in action. The Miners taking on the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee on Thursday. For Sal Montes, for Zay Galindo, I'm Adrian Broaddus. Coming up next, it's a big game, and it will decide the AFC North. It is the Ravens taking on the Steelers. Coming up next, right here on your home for Sunday Night Football 600, it's ESPN El Paso.